I feel like that the Lord has really inspired me about God's holiness and how God wants us to be holy and how he made a plan. And as I studied the Old Testament about these altars, it really blessed my soul because I realized all they went through back there, and it never really took away sin. But when Jesus came, that was the great sacrifice. And how much we owe it to God to thank Jesus every day for his blood. His blood is so precious. It's been so renewed to me in the last few weeks or days, that how precious the blood of Jesus, and how precious it is that he saved us from sin. And I'd like to read, as I was studying about the altars, and we're not going to go into all the depth of it for sake of time, but you know the brazen altar where they sacrificed for sin and all that they had to do. I want to read a scripture in Psalms 118 and 27. It says, God is the Lord, which hath shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. You know, in the altar, on both altars, had horns on the four corners. And these horns was, what I can understand, was to bind that sacrifice there, tie that animal or whatever. But when the offer came in to sacrifice for sin on that brazen altar, they took a hold of that animal and they got ready to slay it for their sin. And the priest was there to catch the blood in the basin. And it, this was a gory thing, really. But, you know, the Lord wanted people to know how awful sin was. How awful sin was and what they had to go through to sacrifice for their sins. To show them that God was not pleased with sin. That sin is an awful thing. And that he wants us to be holy. And you know, God is a holy God. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But you know, there's a way for us to be holy, and it's through his blood. Isn't that wonderful? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, not just part of our sin, but A-L-L, all of it. I thank the Lord tonight that he cleansed me from all sin and gave me his Holy Spirit, and it was all through the blood. And I just thank the Lord, and this scripture kind of brings out that God is the Lord which has shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. And I never really thought about this before, but it just comes to my mind right now. How we can bind our sacrifice with God, how we can bind ourselves to him with cords of love and cords of endearment and cords of, Lord, I'll never leave you. And I bind my sacrifice with you. I bind my love with you. I tie myself up with you forever. I will never leave you, God. I will do everything I can to please you. I will be holy. I'm determined to be all what you want me to be. And I will make it to heaven. I'm going to bind that sacrifice. I'm going to bind you, God. I'm going to stay right with you. Dear ones, we need to tie on to God tonight. We need to be close to him. He's a holy God, and you know, through his blood, he made a way. He wanted us, he had atonement for us, he had mercy for us, and also he wants communion with us. If you study all the Old Testament about these altars and the, and of course, the candlestick and the showbread, it all meant something. But you know, dear ones, it was all a plan to bring us back to God, to make us holy, so we can commune with God. You know, in this meeting with Santa, I think it was earlier today where the brother was preaching, you know, if there's something between us and God, we can't get real close to him because we feel guilty. We want to ask forgiveness first. We want to clear things up. Or with another person. We want to be close to that person. We want to communicate with them. We want to get things cleared up. And that is the way it is with God. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be holy. So he just works with our heart and he talks to us and he wants us to keep everything clear. You know, it's not hard to trust the Lord for divine healing or anything when you're all clear with God, when you're ready to go. It's not a fearful thing to die if you're really ready to go, you know. But we have to keep close to the Lord. We have to be holy, what the Lord wants us to be. I thank the Lord tonight for his holiness. I really didn't write that on the board, but I might write that one thing I wanted to write on the board here. This was the holy place. The holy place. But this was the holiest. The holiest place. You know, this was a place that God wanted to bring us to. This is where God wants us to be sanctified. And as you study the Old Testament and God's plan, we can understand better the plan of salvation. It's marvelous. It's wonderful that Jesus died for us to be saved from sin, but they didn't stop there. Dear ones, God wants to bring you to that holiest place. He wants you to be sanctified. You know, we remember when we were saved from sin, the Lord delivered us in a marvelous way. We're delivered from sin. We're delivered from habits of sin and everything. But yet there was an inward foe that wasn't subject to God. There was something there that needed to be purged out. We needed to go and get sanctified. And when we realized that need, we went to the Lord. And the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit. We know definitely when we were sanctified. The Holy Spirit came in and sanctified us. And you know, the Lord can help you to know you're sanctified. Sometimes we work with people at the altar and they really don't know where they're at. They don't know if they're sanctified. Dear ones, God wants you to know you're saved. And he wants you to know you're sanctified. The devil doesn't have any advantage of you when you know where you're at. The Lord wants you to know where you're at. I am saved. Or I am sanctified. You gotta know where you're at. And so you can go and take part in the ordinance service. The Lord wants us to take part in the ordinance service. This is his plan. And you know, taking part of the bread, and it's a type and shadow of his body, and drinking the grape juice is a type and shadow of his blood. But dear ones, yes, we don't want to do it if we're not worthy, but we want to get worthy. He's called us to be saints of God. He called you to walk worthy. That's scripture. It's not that we're worthy in ourselves, but God wants us to live worthy. He wants us to live like holiness. He wants us to be holy so we can be worthy. We're not worthy in ourselves, but only through his blood. But we don't have to be accused of the devil and beat down all the time to think that I can't take part of the bread or I can't drink the grape juice. If you're saved, you're a candidate for it. You can do it. God wants you to do it. It's part of his plan. Dear ones, I would believe when we do the things and the ordinances that God laid out, when we get saved, we get baptized. I remember when I was baptized, I didn't quite understand. I hadn't been saved very long, but the Lord dealt with my heart. And they told me I need to get baptized, but I wanted to know why. So I told the Lord, Lord, talk to my heart. Help me to understand why I need to get baptized. And the Lord began, he gave me one of our songs in our songbook. I opened to it. And it said, I go down into the watery grave with my Savior. It's not that the water does not save us. No, the water does not save us. But it is a witness that I'm being buried in the water. I'm being buried to my old life. I'm not going to be a new creature. I'm not going to live that way no more. I belong to God. It's something that, you know, it's just like, it's something that God has us to do to remember. And it's a good thing. It's what God wants us to do. And it's just like when we take part in the ordinance service, it's to remember that he shed his blood for us, that his body was broken for us. It's a good thing for us to take part in this. And when we neglect it year after year after year, the enemy is going to take advantage of us. The Lord wants us to be holy, and he wants us to take part in these things. And we can have a good foundation then. So when the enemy comes along, we can know where we're at. The Lord wants us to know where we're at. He wants us to know positively. We do not have to be up and down in life's career. God wants us to be saints. He wants us to be know where we're at. He wants us to be holy. God God had made a plan. And you know, he was so particular. If you read and study how the tabernacle was made, he wanted to dwell with his people. He wanted to get as close to his people as he could. Yet it wasn't perfect yet until Jesus came. It wasn't perfect, but it was something to show people how awful sin was. He wasn't just going to let them get by. He wasn't just going to let them think it's okay. He wanted them to know how terrible it is by slaying the animal, by the blood being put on the altar, cutting the animal in pieces and burning the sacrifice, having the blood and the priest going into the second veil there, into the holiest place, once a year, but daily trimming that lamp on the incense and making sure that was burning. You know what that incense stood for? It's our prayers. Now, it's our prayers. How sweet are our prayers to God. They're like an odor going up to God. Everything God, he had a symbol for, it means something. It means something today. I thank the Lord for that. Oh, I thank the Lord for his holiness. I want to read Psalms 141 and 2. I just mentioned that. It says here, 141:2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, your prayers do mean something to God. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if God's hearing my prayers. You know, you don't ever want to think that. God's hearing your prayers. He loves you. He loves us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to commune with him. He's hearing your prayers. The Lord loves you. Well, it may not be that God answers exactly the way you want all the time, but you never doubt God. Never doubt him that he's doing what's best for you. If he doesn't heal someone you love, it's God's will. You've got to have faith in God. You've got to believe in God. You've got to know that God has control of everything. He can do anything he wants to do. He's God. And we love him, respect him. What did Job say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. He didn't let anything hinder him. He didn't let things discourage him. Well, you say he might have been a little bit. But at the very end, you know, he just kept on faithful to the Lord. He didn't listen to his wife's discouragements. He kept on. I love the Lord. He's going to love the Lord right through it all. And the Lord blessed him and gave it back to him even more. But he was faithful to the Lord. That's what the Lord wants us to be like. Oh, it says 141, but I just read that. And two, let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense. Isn't that so sweet to think about the golden altar in the middle of the incense coming up? And just think that now it's our prayers? It all means something. His whole plan there, if you study the tabernacle, was a plan of the holy place and the holiest place. And that takes the blood to have the Holy Spirit. There's two cleansings. There's two works of grace. You know, this is a very important doctrine, and it's the true doctrine. It's Bible. We've heard in this meeting, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, I'm telling you, there's foundations that the saints, it's not just the saints teach it, it's the Word of God with the saints teaching it. They're teaching it out of the Word. And it's a wonderful plan. Oh, I thank the Lord for his holiness and his godliness. He's a holy God. And you know, if we want to be close to God, then we must be holy. The Lord wants to put a new heart in us and it causes us to live right. And I'd like to turn over to Ezekiel in the 36th chapter and 26 verse. Holiness unto the Lord. The Lord wants us to be holy. I thank the Lord for his blood that can cleanse us from all sin. I tell you, I needed the blood of Jesus, and the Lord gave me that. 36 and 27, it says, let's read the 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. The Holy Spirit. I used sometime when I first got saved, I used to think that, Lord, send the anointing on top of us or something, like, you know, send the anointing on us. You know, we pray, Lord, put the anointing on the minister. Put, you know, and so I was thinking, the Lord, the anointing's just going to come down on us. And the Lord spoke to me one day. I was praying that, and the Lord said, you know, you're not thinking straight. You're not thinking right. And I said, the anointing is within you. You just need to be inspired with the anointing, but it's always there. I remember Brother Werner one time, he was getting up to preach, and he said he didn't feel anything. He didn't feel anything, but he knew that God wanted him to do it, so he moved. And the Holy Spirit came down, and he might have preached a couple hours, I don't know, but the Lord blessed him. But you know, it's a walk by faith, saints. We must have faith. You might not feel like you have the Holy Spirit, but you've got to know you do. Does that make sense? Because the feelings come and go, and you're emotional. The feelings come and go, but you got to know whether you feel like it or not, I'm saved. You've got to say it. You've got to claim it. You've got to believe it. And it's not just claiming it, but you know it. That's why you say it. Does that make sense to you? You say it with boldness, but in the Holy Ghost. I am saved. I am sanctified. I may be going through some trials right now. I may not feel just like it, but I know I am. And I know I'm holy because I'm holy because of the blood of Jesus. And I'm living free from sin because I know I live free from sin. Isn't that wonderful? No question about it. That's the kind of life God wants out of us. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight for his love. I will put my spirit where? Within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And he shall keep my judgments and do them. You say, well, Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are wonderful. And you know what? We live the Ten Commandments. We do them. How do we do them? How do we do them when the world is lying in wickedness and they're not keeping the Ten Commandments? Many people are not. But how are the saints doing it? It's all through the blood of Jesus. Talk about Christmas. Christmas, Jesus came to take his people and clean them from all sin. Thank the Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his blood. Oh, I just thank you tonight. I thank you for salvation. I thank you that he saved my soul. Oh, praise God. That Jesus died so sinners could live. He died so sinners could live. He died for you and I. Isn't he sweet? Isn't he wonderful? I mean, it's just so wonderful. Jesus was born as a babe and grew up, and the whole plan was to die, to take away. Don't have to go through that tabernacle, even though that was sweet too. That was God's plan, but we don't have to do that no more because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. Aren't you glad that you don't have to take an animal, bind it to an altar, and slay it, and go through all that, and have bloody hands? And I know this sounds gory, but wash your hands in the laver and all that. They had to wash their hands and their feet, and the priest had to do all that. But Jesus, once and for all, we're going to read a scripture, died for us that we could be saved from all sin and live holy. And he has a plan, praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. We want to read some scriptures about Jesus. St. John 3 in the New Testament. Oh, the Lord, he is so wonderful. He is so sweet. He's so kind and loving and powerful. And there's nothing that the blood can't wash away, you know. There's nothing. You know, I heard that sometimes in sectism, they want to take some of these blood songs out of the books. It sounds kind of, they don't like it, so much blood. I love the blood of Jesus. I love to talk about the power of the blood. We don't ever want to get away from that. That is what it's all about. If it wasn't for the power of his blood, we would all be sinners. It's Jesus' blood that saved us from sin. It's Jesus' blood. How could you just wake up one day, you were a sinner one day, and God saved that night, and wake up the next morning, you're still saved, and the next year, 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 it's because of Jesus' blood. What's keeping you through your trials of life? What is the power of the Holy Spirit and the comfort when grief comes? And all this, it's all about God and his power. Oh, I tell you, saints, There is power. Dear ones, there is power over every power of the enemy. There is power in that blood. There's so much power. It's amazing. Like we sing Amazing Grace. It's just amazing. The power of the blood of Jesus. It says here in St. John 3 and 5, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You know, as I was studying that, the water. Well, you know, when we're saved from sin in the blood of Jesus, then they had the laver there. They had the water that they had to wash their hands and things, so the cleansing. The water is a symbol of cleansing, regeneration. We're saved by the blood, but we're also cleansed. Water is a cleansing agent. Without water, the water of life, it talks about the water of life springing up within you into eternal life. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? She said, "Sir, I have no way to I forgot exactly what she said, but you know, we could read the St. John 4th chapter. But Jesus said, "I have water that you know not of." And he's the one to give her that kind of water. He said, "You can come here, you'll still want more water. You can drink this water, and tell you what, a few hours, you can still be thirsty again." But Jesus came to give you the water of life. We'll never thirst again. Have you all been thirsty? I mean, really? I mean, say, when you find Jesus, it lasts. It just lasts. Yes, you'll get hungry and thirsty after the word, but he satisfies your soul. I tell you what, we sing that song, To me the blessed Savior came, his great salvation to proclaim. Oh, glory to his precious name. It satisfies my soul. I have never found anything in this world that has satisfied me like Jesus. He is just the ultimate. He is the blessing. He has been with me. Oh, I tell you, he's with you all the time. He's with you when you need him. Oh, I tell you, when my cousin died Tuesday morning a week ago, it was such a sudden shock. I mean, just to me, she was 58. Just here she died, you know? And she was like a sister to me. And I grieved Tuesday and Wednesday, and I cried. I tried not to cry, and I'd cry again. But I know the dear saints was praying for me Wednesday night, because I woke up Thursday. It was just like the Lord had turned a valve off. I'd get tears in my eyes when I think, but I wasn't crying. I wasn't. My eyes were sore. My cheeks were swollen. You know, but the Lord helped my grief. He is wonderful. He heals the sorrow. He heals the wounded. He heals people from sin. He delivers from drugs. We hear so much of people with drugs and dying from drugs. He can heal people from drugs. He can save them from sin at that altar and deliver them from drug addiction. Praise God. He can do anything. You say, "Well, Sister Marcia, I got this problem, you know." Oh, God, he can heal problems. He is so sweet. Just get close to him. He can heal your heart. He can just help you out. Praise God. He's a wonderful Savior. I love him so much. Oh, it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." This is the truth. This brazen altar back there. But there's a truth that Jesus' blood is the only way for us to get to our holy God. The only way under heaven, on this earth, if we're ever going to see heaven, is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is our mediator. He shed his blood. He was born as a baby, and he was crucified on a cross. The great sacrifice. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight for that great sacrifice, my precious Jesus. Oh, I tell you, I was in sin just like everybody else, 18 years old, and the Lord came and saved me thoroughly from sin. One night, not at a precious church building, but in a precious home of Jerry's grandmother, I knelt on my knees and asked the Lord to save me, come into my heart. And he washed my sins away. And it's lasted all these years. It's Jesus' blood. praise the Lord. Like you said, we sang that song, Over the Mountain, Where Lonely I Wandered, there in Michigan, praying for the true church. God, I was praying as a young teenager, God, you must have a people somewhere. You must have a people that teaches. How did I know? How did I know? I don't know. The Lord told me. You must have. I went to different churches. I wasn't satisfied. I had a girl, that friend that was a Catholic. I went to her church. I did the cross thing and bowed at the altar with her. They had little special pads, you know, you put your knees in. Didn't understand the priest talking in Latin. Went away from there thinking, you know, I don't want to go back there. Went to other churches, never was satisfied. And I said, Lord, you have a church that is free from sin, that teaches free from sin. How did I know that? Jesus told me. I said, lead me to these people. God, lead me. A young girl and saints, we can pray. People that are honest hearted, God can bring them to the saints. He can make saints out of them. He can save them from sin. You must say, if you'd seen me back then, you might have thought it was impossible. There is nothing impossible with God. The Lord, He's so good. He's so gracious. You know, He's got people wondering right now out there. If we would just pray, Lord, we need more ministers. Pray God will send. Pray God will send saved people to us and give them the light on the church. Give us ministers. You know, give us leaders. Give us help. Many of us are getting older. The Lord has got His hand on the church. He said, it's His church. I have confidence in God. I know God. He is a great God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53, it says, He is despised and rejected of men, the third verse, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Jesus, His atonement paid for our healing. Saints, how many of us in here have been divinely healed? Many times, not just once, many times I've been divinely touched and healed. It is a wonderful plan. It's not something we have to do or we're made to do it. It is God's wonderful plan, His mercy. Mercy, and thank, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing that we can go to God and say, Lord, the same blood that saved me from sin can heal my body. Oh, I tell you, by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Yes. Now, if that doesn't make you want to get close to Jesus and think, Jesus, you were my sacrifice. As long as we have breath, as long as we can talk and pray, we need to thank God every day. Yeah. Lord, and it still won't be enough. We get to heaven, we'll have eternity to praise Him and thank Him for what He did for us. You know, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He did it for you and I. Yeah. He went to Gethsemane. Yes, He was human too. He was in the flesh. And that's why He said, Lord God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because you know what? Any of us, just think about it. If you knew they were going to take you out and nail your hands and feet to a cross, you would be crying. You would be praying. You know, it wasn't easy for Jesus to yield, but He did it. Because He knew that took the plan for us to be delivered. Praise God. St. John 1 and 29. We want to read over here in St. John 1 and 29. Thank the Lord tonight when we think about Christmas. Let's think about Jesus. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus, 1 and 29 of St. John, coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it said, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bear record, that this is the Son of God. This wonderful. Wonderful. Praise God. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Jesus is our only way. And we can have the victory over everything. We can be holy. It's not that we're boasting at all. But you know, the scripture says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace, isn't it? Mark the perfect man. I remember hearing one of our older ministers says, we want to mark the perfect man. Look at me. Well, people might think that's kind of strange. But you know, holiness. Holiness. This is what the Lord wants all of us to be. Holy. He's a holy God. We can approach God at the mercy seat and say, Lord, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'm your child. And I need help. I need grace here. I need some help, Lord. Oh, praise God. When I turn over here to Romans, the Lord, Romans 3 and 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. Well, read up there a little bit above that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Yes. Through Jesus' blood. Amen. We don't have to go through that anymore because Jesus was ultimate sacrifice. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord. It's wonderful. We want to turn over here to Hebrews. Please. Hebrews. Oh, I thank the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 15. Yeah, Hebrews 4 and 15 we want to read first. It says here, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, or he cannot be moved, or he cannot understand our feelings, because he was in the flesh. He did that so he could understand us. He loved us so much. It's like he created us. And then he realized, I'm going to have to help these poor people. They need to get saved. They need to get holy. They're in lots of problems. I'm going to have to help them. I made them, and now they're all lost. I've got to help them. So So he made a plan. He started out with this, but he knew that wasn't going to work. That wouldn't be perfect. I'm going to have to go and condescend and go in the flesh so I can understand them when they pray to me. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, it says here that he would be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. No sin did Jesus do. And when we're saved, we don't sin either. We're not saved Christians. We're not saved, how can I say it? Christians that are saved by grace, but yet, I've heard people say this, but you know that we can't have victory over the flesh. We have to sin a little bit every day, but we can go ask Jesus to forgive us over and over and over. That's not the way. God planned us to live daily, holy. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have a need, go to the mercy seat. And the Lord will help you, praise God. Hebrews 9. It says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was a candlestick. Oh, praise God for the light of God. The light of God in the Word of God. After we're saved and we have regeneration and we have a new heart, we need God's Word. We need to understand it. We need to walk in the light. I remember times when I first was saved and I needed to understand the doctrine better because I wasn't taught. I didn't grow up with the saints. And I'd lay my Bible out. And I'd say, Lord, explain the scripture to me, please, dear Lord. I don't quite understand. And I would read it again and read it, and the Lord began to open the real meaning. The light came on. Lord. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. The light of God. We sing that song. Yeah. The light of God. The Word of God. The showbread. The Word. His body. It all has a purpose. Oh, I tell you. But it said the candlestick and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After that, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold. Wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, the holiest of all, I put that in there, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood. And some people teach that there's no cleansing and getting the Holy Spirit. That's not accurate. The blood was also put on that altar, the golden altar. It takes the blood for us to receive the Holy Spirit. The blood. Not without blood. And it says the Holy Ghost was signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, whilst yet the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. You know, they could do their sacrifice and go on probably the same day and commit a sin. It wasn't perfect. But it said, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings, carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise God. Praise God. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Praise God. And then it goes on in the 22nd verse, and almost all things were by the law purged with blood. If you read about all that, all these offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings and all this blood, it sounds kind of gory, all this blood they had to go through. I'm glad I didn't live under that dispensation. But praise God, Jesus' blood is a wonderful thing. Oh, and it's so powerful. And I would never, it's a shame that people teach that people can have to live in sin and there's no power for them. It's a very disgrace and horrible thing to teach that, because Jesus' blood is so precious and so powerful. And there's witnesses today. We are witnesses here that are saved from sin, that live daily, holy lives. We are witnesses that his blood is powerful. And that's just the way it is. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord. It was therefore necessary. He said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. If he had to go die on the cross over and over for all the people, but he only had to do it once. And I'm so glad. That's all he had to go through once. For then must he often have suffered from the foundation, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. Just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for his blood. Pray for me. I just want to encourage anybody here that if you're struggling with anything, the Lord can help you have the victory.